As a Senate inquiry continues to look into the prevention and treatment of fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, calls are intensifying for the federal government to adopt stronger pregnancy warnings on alcohol labels. Last week, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner June Oscar told RN Drive that FASD affects families for their lifetimes, but that it can be prevented.
I think we can do better in the size of the labelling on any alcohol product. People deserve and have a right to know of these dangers. Effective, promoting of labelling, of imagery, of wording associated with the messaging around the harms of consuming alcohol during pregnancy, that is the right thing to do.
Now a person with FASD has decided to share her story tonight in the hope of shedding light on the condition. Jessica Birch is 34 years old and was only diagnosed last year. Jessica, welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me what it's like to live with FASD.
Well, my mum actually once described it to me as the difference between what you know and what you can do. And I think that sums it up very well, even though it's an incredibly complex condition. For me, particularly before I knew about this injury, there was a lot of confusion in my life. I just really couldn't understand why things felt so difficult and looked so easy for other people. And I just really couldn't understand how I could have an idea in my head, clear as day, yet not be able to execute the idea. Or if I did execute it, the task would take so long, or it was so poorly executed that it kind of really no longer served its purpose. And for me, not only did that create feelings of hopelessness and shame, but it also exposed me to the frustration, the anger, the ridicule of the people around me as well. And that takes quite a toll. And without understanding why, it can become very, very difficult. And this is just one tiny example of the seemingly endless barriers that people with FASD are faced with every day. I think it's important for people to know that FASD affects the whole body, the brain and all its many functions, the body's organs and systems, their architecture. You know, the building blocks and the task descriptions of these blocks are fundamentally different in people with FASD. So in FASD, brain functions that control the way we think, process and order information, focus our attention, our memory, how our senses interpret our environment, motor skills, nervous system, organs, all that can see really profound and irreversible developmental damage as a result of the fetus being exposed to alcohol. So not only does an individual with FASD have to contend with cognitive brain damage, and by cognitive, I don't necessarily mean an intellectual disability. In fact, most people with FASD do have an average IQ. They have to deal with this brain injury, and they have to deal with a myriad of physical conditions also. When you ask me what life is like for people with FASD, what life has been like for me, it's been hard and it's been painful. It's hard to make friends. It's hard to finish school. It's hard to find a job, let alone keep a job. To make all of life's decisions become incredibly tricky, and these everyday, typical-looking Australians who are actually in no way typical are often thrust into life with this adage of adapt or die, yet they are fundamentally unable to adapt without assistance, and the consequences are quite significant.
So, as I said, you're 34 and you were diagnosed only last year. What made you start to suspect that you had FASD?
To be honest, I didn't suspect at all. I didn't know anything about FASD. And I don't think there wasn't one moment exactly. It was definitely a process. It still is, actually. I still have so many moments of realisation or clarity about my behaviours, what throws me off, what's difficult and why. It was actually my mum that brought up the possibility. And I was not very happy about it. And in polite terms, I really threw quite a big tantrum about it. I was not very gracious at all. And it took a year before she could actually approach me about it again. And I can not stress enough that this was an incredibly difficult time in my life. And it was an incredibly difficult time for my family. My mum did extensive research and forensically pulled together all the information about FASD and how it actually presented in my life specifically. When she then gave me all that information, it kind of really hit home, and there was a lot of tears. It really felt clear to me. It fully explained the things that I had felt my entire life, and I could now see and understand why those things were happening. And we just cried. I just cried and cried and cried. What I think is important for people to know is that it took nearly 4 years for me to attain a diagnosis. It took over 10 years of actively seeking healthcare because I have other physical conditions. And it took a lifetime of struggles to be diagnosed with FASD. And I think it's important to note that it took all this time despite the fact that I knew my mum had consumed alcohol during her pregnancy. Yet because of how I presented, there was no sort of clear path. I saw countless doctors, specialist clinicians, and no one made that connection.
It must have been really difficult for your mother too. To bring that forward.
Absolutely. And she has just been such a hero to me. And we work as a team and she supports me and has been the integral and driving force in getting me on track and understanding my diagnosis and starting to have a much better quality of life. I have only my mum to thank for that.
Do you think because FASD is effectively an invisible condition that makes it harder for people to understand it or to even acknowledge it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I shouldn't laugh, but it's something that comes up for me quite a lot. It's really kind of the bane of my existence. Particularly my presentation makes it near impossible for people to understand it. So individuals with FASD, they have this very uneven neurological profile. Let me rephrase. I misspoke. Individuals with FASD, they have an uneven neuropsychological profile, which is why it's important to identify the strengths and weaknesses. So let me just give you an example. I speak and express myself quite well. Yes, I would say that I do.
Agreed. Yep.
And my expressive language is to a pretty high standard. However, my receptive language, not so much. And what I mean by that is the way I receive words and understand them is not on par with how I use those words to express myself. My ability to express complex ideas does not always denote my ability to understand complex ideas. But I do try very hard to understand them, but there is a difference there. It's hard when people see someone speak well to also have an awareness that they might not understand as well.
And how does that translate to your work situation? What kind of work you can do, how you manage your workload, that kind of thing?
Well, I didn't manage my workload very well. And a lot of that was from a lack of awareness and a lack of understanding of what was going on for me. So I started to have many, many complications with my physical health. And at this time, I am unable to work and I have not worked for quite some time because of these health issues. So it's really important to get strategies and mitigate issues before people that are affected by FASD get in the workforce so they can really, do the best that they can with the skills that they have.
In its submission to the Senate inquiry into fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, the Australian Medical Association said that a national prevalence estimate is needed to dispel the idea that FASD is only a problem for Indigenous Australians. Does it surprise you that we don't really have a clear national picture on this?
Yes, absolutely. It surprises me greatly. And I hope in some small way I can contribute to squashing that myth. Literally, hundreds of thousands of people are affected by FASD in Australia. It is the leading cause of non-genetic disability and it is preventable. Awareness and action is key. It's key to changing the conversation about alcohol in this country and to shining a light on the very real difficulties people suffering with FASD are living with. And I just hope that we can put more support around these people so they can thrive and so they can live a fulfilling life. If you are not 100% certain of your contraception, then you must be aware of your alcohol consumption. Anything else is, it's a game of Russian roulette with your baby, and that's what it comes down to. And my belief is that if Australians actually knew the true consequences of consuming alcohol around pregnancy, there would be much more support for clear messaging and alcohol labelling. It is crucial for us to understand that FASD does not discriminate. It exists in all socioeconomic classes and races. And although it may be convenient to think that FASD only affects those exposed to high levels of alcohol, or that it only affects people from poorer communities, it's just not the case. This is just not how it works. The science is very clear. There is no known safe level of alcohol, and even small amounts can and does do irreparable damage. And Australians really need to know.
So, Jessica, what sort of action would you like to see happen to make people more aware of this?
I would really like there to be a far-reaching education and awareness-building campaign first and foremost. I feel like that's the first step. Right now, FAIR, the Foundation of Alcohol Research and Education, and a number of other health and community organisations are urging the government to approve a visible and clear pregnancy warning label on every alcohol product sold in Australia. So no doubt this will start a conversation that Australia desperately needs. And what I would like to do is really invite individuals and businesses and organisations alike to sign an open letter to ministers. And this can be found on the visiblehealthwarning.org website. And this will encourage them to adopt clear, visible warning labels. As it stands, there is more than 2,500 individuals and 145 businesses that have signed in support of this cause. And I just really think it's a great way to show the Australian government that we love our children.
Jessica, thanks for telling us your story.
Thank you.
Jessica Birch, who lives with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, and you're listening to RN Drive.